Allah, help me understanding of Islam. Allah, help me understanding of Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to the series of programs Modern Challenges. In this series of programs, we're going to discuss the challenges that we are facing every single day of our lives. Wherever you are, whatever your age is, whatever your nationality is, whatever your background is, the challenges that we face on a day-to-day basis. The topic that we're going to discuss today is a challenge that we all face. And whether we overcome that challenge or not is something that we're going to discuss today. And how do we overcome that challenge successfully? Inshallah, the brothers that are with us today will give us some Madani pearls on how to overcome that challenge. The challenge that we're going to discuss today is marriage. Marriage is something that's emphasized in Islam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he who can afford to get married and does not get married is not amongst us. So marriage is something that we all should do. And alhamdulillah, I believe that the Muslims as a majority do this. However, those that do face challenges and those that are struggling to are also facing challenges. And inshallah, in today's program, we're going to discuss some of them challenges and hopefully we'll come up with some solutions and some Madani pearls of how we can work towards overcoming them challenges. Brother Shiraz, before we started, you mentioned some of the challenges that our Muslims are facing with regards to marriage. And if you can start us for 10.
Halid Bhai, of the challenges that we are facing today, there's two types. One is the people that are married, their marriages are not lasting. That's one aspect of marriage. Second is struggling to get married. Many youth are struggling to get married, and when that struggle prolongs, rather than getting married, they'll go the wrong way of the same thing, if that makes sense.
But why? Okay, let's just take on the... You mentioned two issues there, the fact that marriages aren't successful, the divorce rates are on the increase, and the other one is actually not getting married in the first place. So if we can discuss that one first. The reason why, you know, our youngsters, our brothers and sisters are not getting married, you know, what do you feel are the issues?
One, I think, is finance. The way we have done in this, as you said, the modern challenges, the way the modern society, the way people are getting married, somebody's spending 100,000 on a wedding, somebody's spending 80,000 on a wedding. Somebody with a normal job, when he speaks to, or if he's even in college or university and he's seeing all the destruction around him, and he wants to get married to save himself from a major sin, when he'll speak to his parents, "Oh, Walid Sahib, or my father, mother, I want to get married," there's some, I've literally spoken to somebody and they told me this. They said, when I spoke to my parents, they said, "Son, first earn some money, build up some wealth, then you could get married." I.e. this finance is becoming a burden. So that youngster is going to struggle to save up 70, 80,000 and he might turn 26, 27 by then or whatever age. And that is one reason that is delaying the marriages of the youth.
Sure, but you know, I mean, maybe it doesn't happen now, but I know in previous times, when a child was born, the parents at that moment, as soon as the child was born, would look forward 20 years' time, 25 years' time. And they used to look at thinking, okay, how do we plan to save up for the marriage? Now, from what you're saying, that doesn't seem to be happening. But what is happening is that them parents, when the child is born, they're planning 25 years in the future of which university is he going to go to?
Yes.
What education is he going to get? What do I need to do this? And I see people putting these funds to one side for his education. So is it maybe that in this particular case, our parents have prioritized education to marriage?
Obviously, that is part of it as well. But on the other side, these days, parents normally leave it as a burden or as a responsibility. The responsibility to the children.
But they don't leave education as a responsibility to the children, do they?
You're right. But overall, we do see that on this particular aspect, that who is that person going to get married to? Is he going to have his accommodation? What's the plan? Normally, they want to give that like a responsibility. They want to pass it on to the child.
There's something that Shirazba picked on as well, that, you know, that the onus is now on the child to earn the money. I've actually heard people say that, oh, I don't want to get my son married just yet. I want him to earn a few years.
Yes.
Not for his own benefit, but for my benefit as a parent. Yeah, I brought him up all these 20 years. He's finally got his degree. He's finally earning some money. Yeah, I want him to bring money into the household now. So rather than that child put the onus on him, you know, there's one onus putting out on the child that, look, earn some money so that he can get married. The other thing is put the onus on the child that, look, earn some money so that we can have a bit of a better life as well. But again, that is selfish, that you're putting your child through this.
If you look at it, if we go further in the challenges in marriage that we face today, we see that youngsters want to get married. They'll go to their parents, look, I'm ready, dad, get me married off. But they can't find the right person.
But coming on to your finances, why is it become so expensive to get married though?
It's Khalid, based for the show of people. I'm going to use an Urdu jumla here and I'll explain it in English. Log kya kahenge? What will people say? What will be the society say? If it could be done in a masjid, it could be done in a, you know, an average place with less people. No, we want hundreds of people attending. We want the most expensive cars to give out. We want hired cars. We want the best hall. Then we want musical programs. Then we want this. When you add the costs, it all builds up. I had a friend once, and he told me, he said he went to a friend's wedding, and he said once the wedding had happened, the father was speaking to this person, and he goes, the father says to me, I've just spent £70,000 for one day, and now I'm thinking. And this is the mentality. And what happens is, the society around us, oh, they did a wedding like this, now we need to live up to this. Now we need to, there's like a competition between people. Oh, we need to set this type of standard or this type of thing. Not realizing what's, and even I say this sometimes in other places, even if you're rich, if you're well off, you're a millionaire, you should set an example to do a cheap wedding. Because if you do a cheap wedding, then the people that can't afford it, they can say, oh yeah, Flam millionaire, he did a wedding like this, then we can afford a cheap wedding. But this is the problem, the finance is coming from, everybody wants
so better,
Shiraz, and better and
better. Doing a cheap wedding, is it possible?
Sorry?
Doing a cheap wedding, is it possible? Can it happen?
Yes, Amir Ahl Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, their Shahzade, when they were married, Amir Ahl Sunnat, now millions of followers around the world, magar alhamdulillah, when their children got married, very, very simple food, very, very simple weddings, and the jahiz was very simple. Today even the jahiz has become like an auction. People are basically, you know, blackmailing people. Oh, your daughter's going to come to our house, you need to give us this and this. Before she's even arrived at your house, you're talking negatively about their family. How are you going to expect that relationship to last in the future? So
you could term this whole scenario as peer pressure. Be it from the family, friends, community.
Because, you know, Brother Shahz, even no matter how Islamically minded you are, no matter how simple a life you live, then the family, the relatives, the, you know, your colleagues, everybody that you know, they have these expectations of you.
And I'm going to smile here, Khalid bhai, as you're saying, ye meri samajh mein. I struggle to understand all this all the time. Many, many people, as you said, you think Islamic living, five times namazi and everything there. When it comes to weddings, don't know what happens, it just goes out of the window. The music, the money harchad, it just sometimes you take care.
Yeah, one thing you need to make clear here is that there's nothing haram in spending that money. What is haram is how that money is spent. Yeah? If it's spent in that you're providing beautiful food in a nice environment, then it's okay and it's shari parda. But unfortunately, a lot of the times it's not that. Yeah? And very rarely, you know, can you go to a wedding and call it an Islamic wedding where you have, you know, no concerns, so to speak. But again, it's the culture. I remember, you know, learning to cut an onion at a wedding. Because in them time, we used to make the food ourselves. Yeah. And I remember it was in somebody's house, and in the back garden, it was big, big pans, and there were these tables there, and said, right, Khalid Beta, you're cutting the onions. And I said, okay, I don't know how to cut an onion, yeah? So he got him a knife, and he said, this is what you do, this and this, and then we wanted this size. And we did it all ourselves, and it was fantastic. You know, the brotherhood love of everybody getting together, cutting the onions, peeling the ginger, the garlic, and stirring
it. I think these days, as we've gone to the smart life, No, we look for the shortcuts. So these days, you just phone someone, the catering. Yeah, can you please sort it out?
No, what happened is, if you turn up on the day of the wedding, you'd look at everybody's car, which one had had a wash, yeah? And you say, okay, put ribbon on his car, that'll do. And that was it. That's what we used to do.
Well, like you mentioned, those are the days where there's a lot of love between the brothers, the family, the community, togetherness.
Yes.
In fact, if you look at it, the moments are, you know, occasions where the community gets together.
Yeah.
And these days, it doesn't happen.
I remember
even if you go to the wedding these days, you go there to show your face.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Just to show that I'm here, yeah, I came. Yeah, but you don't really have that interest.
The enjoyment of a wedding in them times was, I remember when we had a wedding and distant relatives turned up, and I remember the eldest there, and he said, okay, Khalid, have you given anybody any responsibilities? I said, no, you're here now, Bajan. You do it. He said, okay, you're doing this, you're cutting the naan, you're distributing the naan, you're doing this, you're doing that. And we're just brilliant. And we all took our their jackets off, and by the end of the evening, the whites just had stained haldi on them and everything. But they loved it. And the love there. And then at the end, sitting down, you know, you've served everybody, everybody's gone, your clothes are all dirty and oily. That meal that you had at the end was fantastic. And it didn't cost money. It didn't have big halls. But nowadays, you turn up, you know, and there's a table there with your name on it, yeah, and you sit there, you eat the meal and disappear.
And there's Av Khalid Bhai, literally, as you said,
the love has disappeared as well.
You can go to some weddings, as you said, have your meal, not even meet the groom and come back. It's literally gone like this. The groom's somewhere else getting his pictures taken. You've gone to a wedding, met the father, had your meal. I want to meet the groom. Oh, he's busy. Okay, have a nice day. And you're gone. You've gone home and the weddings.
But the feedback I said, though, the peer pressure is the issue.
It is the issue. It's definitely the issue.
But then there are examples. You know, all right, you mentioned Amir Sunnat. Maybe a lot of people that are watching today are saying, well, you know, okay, that's Amir Sunnat.
Yes.
You know, how can we be like that? Yeah. How can we have that simple wedding? It's okay for him to do it, but show me somebody else that's done it. Who else can do it? You know, who else doesn't succumb to that peer pressure? Do you know of people that don't succumb to that peer pressure?
Khalid Bhai, good job you mentioned this. I was at a wedding, what day are we now? Wednesday, Sunday, 3 days ago.
Allahu Akbar.
It was in the UK. The wedding was in a masjid. The hall next to it, the brothers had an ijtima, a gathering in the masjid, and a reasonable amount of people. And why I'm saying this so proudly is that the whole city was not there. A reasonable amount of people, what you would call a halki wedding, a light wedding. A reasonable amount of people, they had an ijtima, zikro naat, tilawat naat, a couple of bayans, dua, the nikah, silsila happened, went to the next hall, had food, everything was done, everybody went home. And honestly, I was so proud.
How many limos were parked outside?
Sorry?
How many limos were parked outside?
No Ferraris, no Lamborghinis, no limos. And it was again the brothers of Dawat Islami. So the way you said, the way Amir al-Sunnat, alhamdulillah, the affairs is continuing. And brothers made that wedding simple.
But when people were sat there, weren't they like whispering to each other?
No, actually, when I've met a few brothers and when I was outside, the brothers were very proud of this.
Sure.
MashaAllah, it can be done like this. It doesn't always need to be OTT, over the top. You know, and alhamdulillah, I was very happy with this.
Well, I pray to Allah that particular person has set a precedent, you know, for the other people that we can do it and it is possible to do it. So that's one issue. So really, the issue of finances is something that we've made that issue ourselves. And if we want to resolve that issue...
That's good what you mentioned. It's not the requirement of the wedding.
No.
It's something that we've just put a burden on ourselves.
We've made this a burden on ourselves. Obviously, every parent wants to spend on their child. But every parent needs to spend on their child according to their own budget. You know, and not, you know, wed your daughter off and then you're paying a debt for the next 25 years.
Another thing that we have to remember when we spend on weddings, people do find ways of getting that money as well. But most of it is loan. No, just for a wedding, they'll be on debt for about, say, 50, 60K. And the next 4 years, even, you know, they will just try to get rid of that debt.
Now, even coming to your issue, I mean, this is the next issue, but we'll discuss that. But just a little thing here, as you said, some people go into debt to get a wedding done, but they don't realize is sometimes that wedding does not last. If it lasts 6 months, you're still in 80 grand or 60 grand of debt.
For like 20 years.
Yeah, and we'll discuss that.
Six months is your total later limit. These days, sometimes, you know, on the same night, a couple of days, these things have happened. They spend so much, you know, on the wedding, and then just
last. We'll discuss the issues of why there's no that they don't last. But what are the other? You mentioned, all right, we've got one issue of the fact that the finances. The other issue that you mentioned is finding a good rishta.
The right rishta, yes.
Why is that an issue? I mean, are we living towards the end of times where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a time will come where you won't be able to find women, you won't be able to find men, then men will outnumber the women 1 to 10. Is that an issue now? It's not that time now?
Yes, there are Baz riwayat, it's even 1 to 50 mafhum of some hadith, and it's many, many issues. I can remember...
But that's not the current state, is it?
I mean, if I go back to our elders, where I'm from back home is from a village, and even they still do that today, they arrange the marriages, and it happens between families. But what we, as you said, the modern era, because that feeling of love and closeness has gone from families, even families struggle to get married within families because they're not speaking to each other. They've got other issues. Oh no, I'm not giving my daughter to Fala's family. I'm not giving my son to Fala's family because we've got these issues. And then they leave from there. And as you said, the very first riwayat when you were mentioning earlier, when a good rishta comes, sometimes they reject that. And then they're waiting and waiting. So this is one issue. The family is getting on. And then you were mentioning a few issues earlier yourself. What's the reason? What's the brothers here want? And what the sisters here? If you're talking in the UK, for example, what's
I think, there is an issue here that one is the expectations. Everybody has very high expectations. Obviously, you have high expectations. You want the best for your own daughter. You want your best for your own son. And you, if you're getting married, you want the best of the best, obviously, which is understandable. But then what happens, I'm seeing it, and maybe I'm wrong, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that here in these countries, the sisters, what they're saying is that they want someone of their mentality. Right? And they feel that if they get married to somebody in the family from back home, from Pakistan, from India, from Saudi, from whichever other countries that the family roots come from, they feel that their mentality is not going to be the same as them. And maybe it won't, because obviously it's a different culture. So we're not saying one's better than the other, but there are differences. Okay. So the sisters don't want that. They want someone that's from this culture, that's educated in this country, that's got a career in this country, that can go forward in this country. The brothers, on the other hand, unfortunately, what happens with the brothers is, and I'm not going to say all of them, but quite a lot of them mess about, okay? Unfortunately. They mess about here in this country. They commit all sorts of sins. They commit adultery. They do all sorts of things. But then something happens, maybe 26, 27, once they've, I don't even know what term to use, but then they decide that, okay, we want to get married now. And now to please mum and dad, yeah, they say, okay, dad, we'll get married. And dad says, okay, well, there's a good sister here in this town, or there's a good sister here. No, mum and dad, I want to get married back home. Because they feel that they can control the sister back home. They can be the man of the house back home. The sister here is going to be educated and she'll have a say in things. So we don't want that kind of... We don't want people to argue with me. I want basically a maid, a stroke servant, whatever you want to call her. So then what happens is the sisters want to get married here. They don't want to get married there. The brothers don't want to get married here. They want to get married there. So there's a conflict here. So there is going to be a problem. And slowly, slowly what happens is, as you know, the regulations in the country become harder, where bringing people from abroad is getting harder, the brothers are now struggling to get their wives over here. The sisters, they want to get married here, whereas the brothers want to get married there, so they can't find good rishta here. So this is a problem that we are facing.
And it's going to get bigger.
And it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what are the solutions?
I think before we go to the solutions, we at the moment we're highlighting the issues.
We need to understand that if we want to move forward, then as soon as the rishta comes, we should get married. And the rishtas that are available, you know, we have to look at ourselves before we look at others.
I was going to say this. We need to get rid of the checklist mentality. Some people, as you said, some sisters here have drawn up a checklist for themselves. He must be educated, he must be this, he must be this, he must be this. And what if the other person pulls out a checklist? She needs to know how to cook, she needs to know how to do this, she needs to... You'll never...
No, it's nothing wrong in having this checklist, yeah? Where obviously you want compatibility, you want an understanding, you want these things. But what there needs to be is there needs to be a flexibility.
Yes.
Right? There's not going to be someone that's a mirror image of Brother Shiraz. Yeah? There's not going to be a female Brother Shiraz. There's not going to be a female Brother Tawfiq that's going to, you know, be exactly the same. There's going to be differences, right? Wherever you go, the person is going to be different to you.
I think what you just mentioned, that's actually the key of lasting the marriages. And if you look in your own family as well, those individuals or couples who have been married for so long and they're happy as well, That's a secret behind, because they have so much tolerance in them that they are coping up with whatever negative part of the other side is, be it husband or wife. And that's what you have to do. You can't expect 100% from someone.
No, you can't.
Yeah, there's always good in people, but you have to find them.
And there's always bad in people as well.
And I was reading your book.
You have to look at the positives and negatives and weigh it, whichever is better, then you go forward. But one thing is clear though, you shouldn't delay it though. Because by delaying it, you know, you're causing a lot of other issues.
Yes. Well, it's not just other issues. I know what you're going towards with them, other issues. But what also happens is, you know, there's a term, marriageability, yeah, that as you get older, it's harder to get married. Even if you've not committed any sins, even if you have been a pious person, if your age is now 29, 30, 32, 34...
If you go past that age, it's very difficult.
It's difficult. Now, it's not necessary that you've lived them last 15, 20 years in sin, that you've got, you know, children out to marriage, that you've done this, you've done that. It's not necessary, but what happens is, as you delay it, it gets harder. And so, you know, what happens is, when they were 19, 20, the expectations were there. Yeah, I want, you know, someone that's a PhD and is this and this. And now that they're 35, yeah, but if they'd lowered the expectations a little bit earlier, then they would have got married earlier. But what's happened is they've got that checklist.
You know, other than the expectations, I think if you look at the other issue within it as well, is the youngsters, they want to get married and they found someone as well. But the parents have found someone as well for him. Yeah, and but that's abroad, back home, and they're both not speaking to each other. If the father or mother speaks to the child, the youngster, and says that, look, I've got someone for you, and they don't want to see that reaction of that youngster. They know he's not going to say yes. And they're scared to speak to the youngster.
So many lives are ruined because of that. I can tell you numerous occasions where the son has not wanted to get married, right? And so the father has forced the marriage upon the son. The daughter-in-law has come over here. The wife's come over here. And so that particular sister has lived a life of hell over here. Yeah. The parents, you know, of the son, they realize the error of the ways all of a sudden. And then what they do is they think, okay, we'll keep this marriage going, even if it's just on paper, until she can get her permanent stay. And then we'll arrange the divorce. And then at least she can, you know, get married here. But for that period of time, when all this is happening, it's a horrible life to live.
I've known of a scenario. There's a doctor who lives, she's a lady, a doctor lives in this particular country. And the parents were so, you know, aggressive or persuasive to get her married back home. And it came to a stage that she couldn't say no. So she said, okay, I'll get married. But the person that they proposed is someone who can't even write his own name. Forget being illiterate.
Plus, I'm saying is that compatibility.
Look at that education gap between them.
But even in Islam, it talks about compatibility. What she's done,
because to keep the name of the parents, and she got the nikah done, yeah, but they didn't move out yet, but they've done the legal binding, you could call it, the nikah, they've done that, and she proposed that, I will only bring him here if he passes his test and he comes here. And she knows he'll never be able to do it. And now the parents are stuck. What do we do? And going down the line, you can see the daughter's going to say, look, he's not passing. I have to cancel that. I have to somehow get out of that marriage and I have to, give me permission to get married where I want now.
Yeah, but then what happens is whilst all that's going on, she's getting older, right? Then whilst all that's going on, when the parents accept, okay, you are right, let's arrange for the divorce. So now she's a divorcee.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Even Khalid, but this is one thing.
So now she's a divorcee, yes. Right? And so when the next person comes along, he doesn't see these problems. He just sees a divorcee.
Yes.
So now the problem is twofold now. She's getting older. She's a divorcee. It's even harder to get married.
I think that happens as well. But most of the cases, they'll normally have someone else as well.
That's one issue. That is very common as well. Don't have another person. And as you said, just in general, the way Khalid was saying, Brother Khalid was saying, you keep on getting older and older and you have too many demands. Eventually, I'm 29, 30 now, I need to lower the demands. When somebody comes even for the rishta or you go somewhere, the first question they ask is she divorced? Yeah. Or is he divorced? Because he's 30 and he's not married. Or he's 32 and he's not married. Even though they might not be, as you said, and they might not have committed a sin. Is he divorced? What's the reason why they're not married? Is there something wrong with the hand down? Then all these questions start popping up.
But then, brother, when they get to that age, if they've not been married, then because the society is such, You don't look on that person as a pious person. He's 35 and he's not married. Yeah. What's he been up to? Yeah? Who's he got on the side? How many kids he got that he's not told his mum and dad about? What's he been doing? Because it happens. Allah. It does happen. So that poor person that's now 30, 35, the brother or the sister, that's lived a pious life, that's been unlucky, been unfortunate for whatever reason, because they've not got married, society looks on them. Yeah? Down. Society looks down on them. Yeah? Which is wrong. But it's a fact. And because, the reason why they do it is because it is happening. The things that we don't really want to discuss here today are happening in the background. And it's a fact. But coming back to, you know, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mother Child, the modern challenges we're facing, we're talking about marriage, it's something that we all have to face and try and overcome and should overcome, inshallah. And there are ways to overcome. And basically, we're starting to touch on some of the things. Inshallah, we'll touch on them. So far, what we've discussed is we've discussed the problems that we're facing actually getting married. Yeah, so the problems that we're facing getting married, and one of them, obviously, the brother mentioned, is a financial issue. And this is because of, as the brother mentioned, the peer pressure, the expectations that we need to have this. But just to before I go on, I remember, brother, that somebody from here sent £1,000 and said, I want to get poor people married in Pakistan, right? And you know, the person that money was given to, he went over to Pakistan and he found poor people over there. And you will not believe it, with that £1,000, he got 3 marriages done. Not just the food, but the jihaz, the bed, the almari, the cupboard, the basic table, a basic gas cook and everything. He got 3 families married with £1,000. Nowadays, here, we can't even get our car hired for less than that. Yeah, but again, it's our priorities, our position, status in the community, what will people say. The next issue that the brothers mentioned was the fact that, you know, the fact that the age is going on and finding a suitable rishta and the delay in getting married. And I think that is something that, you know, unfortunately we realize that it's an issue too late. Do not delay in 3 things. Do not delay in 3 things. Number one, do not delay your namaz upon the appointed time. Number two, do not delay in burying a Muslim when he passes away. And number three, do not delay in getting married when a suitable match is found. But what happens is when a suitable match is found, we don't think it's suitable. Yeah, we think, no, we can get better than this. We can do better than this. Yeah, and then what happens is when you don't and you come back to that suitable match is no longer available. So again, we need to be careful about this. I mean, I know as a parent, I'm a parent. Obviously, I want the best for my daughter. I want the best for her. And obviously, every parent thinks this. But you have to realize that it's a clock. And the sooner you make the decision, the better. Going on, though, is the issue of after marriage. You know, and unfortunately, we're seeing unprecedented levels of separation and divorce. I remember when, if I look at my father's generation and their family and the extended family, and as far as I can go back, I can't think of a single divorce in that, you know, level of family. Yeah, my father's generation, his uncles, his cousins, his brothers, I can't remember a single divorce. Come one step down to my generation and you see the odd divorces picking up. Go to the next generation, and to want for a phrase, the two a penny, mate. Why has it become so easy now, or it's become so common now that people are divorcing? What is the reason behind this?
The relationships are not lasting. And there are 2 reasons. I'm going to talk on the spiritual side of it, why they're not lasting. Then you can come to the issues. In one of the risala, Shadi Hana Abadi, this is one of the letters of Amir al-Sunnah that the printing department of Dawud Sami, they've took some Madani pools from there and they've given some reasons why the marriages are not lasting. And Amir al-Sunnah have written in this, is one of the reasons, they've written in this one, according to Amir al-Sunnah's letter, is because the way we are doing weddings these days, because of the non-Muslim rasumat, I don't know what the English word would be.
Customs.
The way a Muslim wedding is meant to be light, we're making it heavier and heavier, expensive. I mean, I know in Pakistan there have been weddings that they've come on helicopters and threw money. Helicopters and they threw money, and the marriage has lasted for 3 days. There are marriages here that people have took out 60,000, 80,000 loans. The marriages have lasted for 6 months. So, Millat Sunnah have pointed towards this. The way we're doing our things, all those haram acts, yeah, we could make them halal, but the things we do, free mixing, music, stage shows, dances, many, many things happen within one wedding. They said that could be one of the reasons.
If there's no barakat in the root,
yes,
then there's not going to be in the fruit, is it?
There's a hadith park, the beautiful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two sounds are the most disliked in the court of Allah azza wa jal. One is screaming at the time of sadness, and second is music at the time of happiness. What do people do today? I mean, you speak to them, Hazrat, you know, you could do a bit. Oh, no, it's my first son. Hamare pehle bete ki shaadi is our first child's marriage. Do you expect us to do a normal one? We need to show people, we need to make it like this. It's a hushi ka moka. And when hushi ke moke par, when the time of happiness, we are doing nafarmani of Allah azza wa jalla. Amir Sunnat have also written in that letter also this. When at the time of happiness, when we should be doing thank of Allah azza wa jalla, shukr of Allah, when we are doing nafarmani of Allah azza wa jalla, what do you expect? That after 6-7 days, if your daughter's returned back home because of fighting, or few months later you've got the divorce papers handed to you, we don't want your daughter anymore, or at the, even they've written so much that at the birth of her first child, the child is born alive and the mother passes away. They said many, many spiritual things could happen because of the way we do our weddings.
But, you know, I can see what you're saying. And basically what we're saying there is that there are a lot of things that we do at our weddings that are against Sharia, that we're committing so many sins. But going back to our initial thing that, you know, you said, oh, it's my first son. Yeah. And I said at the beginning that there's nothing haram in having an extravagant wedding. There's nothing haram in having a 15-course meal. There's nothing haram in having the best hall in the whole country. There's nothing haram in having the best cars. So you can still be extravagant. You can still spend a lot of money, but you can still stay within the bounds of Sharia.
Yes.
And I think that's where, you know, all right, you, to that person that said it's my first son, yes, okay, enjoy yourself. If you want to show off, but show off within the bounds of Sharia. You know, the Grand Ashura says so many times, freedom but with limitations.
I think in our society, this is a separate topic though, not today's discussion. But what are those boundaries? Are people aware of that? Generally, people are not aware of it.
I think they are, and for some reason, they turn a blind eye to it.
Yes.
You know, they turn a blind eye to it. On that day, they turn a blind eye to it. Because a lot of those, you know, I think Shiraz mentioned earlier on, you get the people, the religious people. But on the day of the wedding, then it's all...
You don't know what happens to them, yeah. Another cause of weddings not lasting is lack of trust between the couples. They don't trust each other. They think, you know, he's always on his phone. Yeah, or he's always on the phone. Yeah, I don't know who she's texting. Yeah, what is he doing? Oh, he's gone out. He's not coming home on time. You know, there's all these suspicions out there in the
but
heart.
But the thing is, though,
and if we have that in the wedding life, you know, there's going to be problems. There's going to be problems. Either whatever the issues are, you know, both of them need to sit together. And if there is something fishy, whatever you want to call it, they need to resolve that and, you know, sort it out. But if they're going to continue like this, and there might not be any problem. It could be, for example, it could be the man himself. You know, he's like that himself. And because he goes out, you know, talks to other people, you know, he hangs around with other ladies, and if he has that mindset of other side as well, doesn't mean that she will be the same as well. And just because of you've seen your half of it, doesn't mean she's like that. And if this wedding's not gonna last long, then what's the guarantee of the next wedding? You have to change your mindset.
A few things there though, Brother Tawfiq, is the one that trust. And trust is something that when two people, no matter how much they, like each other before they get married, once they get married, there's going to be differences. So one, it's building up that trust. And trust is not something that's achieved overnight, number one. Number two, the other issue I see is, you know, you mentioned quickly the one on the phone. As a whole, the whole community, be it husband, wife, be it father, son, be it brother and sister, be it best friends, it's this now. They don't sit down and talk with each other. They don't talk with each other the problems. They don't want to discuss with each other what the problems are. And it's become...
Even if you sit down in that same room, five family members sitting down,
they're
on their own phones.
I remember, brother, that when I was young, I was the eldest. Yeah, I'm the eldest amongst the brothers and sisters. Our house was like a local cafe. Yeah, from the age of 8, 9, I can remember that the front door never closed. People are coming in all day long. And my job was to make the tea. So I'm making tea all day long, you know. And, you know, it's just because it was that sort of people coming, talking, meeting, this and that. And gradually, you think that the walls have got higher on your house. They haven't. It's just we've changed. There was a time where, you know, I used to know everybody in the street. Now I don't even know what's happening in the neighbours. So times have changed, yeah. And that's why maybe as a couple, you know, we've not realised that we need to give each other time. Yeah, we need to put this to one side, switch the phone off, switch the PlayStation off, and give each other quality time. But we think that, oh, we can just send each other a message each day from work. I'll be home at 6. Okay, can you get the milk and bread on the way home? Yeah, everything's all right. And that's the success. It's not the success. A marriage is not something that you just because you sign a piece of paper, it's going to be successful. A marriage has to be worked on.
Yes.
Has to be given time. Has to be given understanding. And like you said, you need to have this patience where, yes, you know, don't just think that the first time husband's open late, you know, oh, he's up to something, yeah? He might be traffic jam. Anything can happen, yeah? Have that, you know, think positively about the person. Yeah, a time will come where if it's continuously happening, but then, you know, even in the Motherly Pearls of Amir al-Sunnah, when he talks about brothers, that, you know, if you've got an issue, then talk with the person. Don't just listen to one side of the story. And what happens is we just listen to my story. I think this brother's doing this. I think this brother's doing this. Have I ever sat down with this brother? Yeah, this suspicion in Islam is a sin.
You know, sometimes because the mind says don't match. No, for whatever reason, they got married due to whatever circumstances.
It doesn't match to a brother.
But sometimes there's a huge gap.
Yes. Yeah.
And what happens due to that reason? Now, there's always bad suspicions about that person. And not just she's with someone, he's with someone, not that type of stuff. But more of, she's doing black magic on me. She's going into witchcraft or all sort of things. Yeah, amulets, taweez, all these things. These things have come into play as well. And it happens in our society.
But that's because...
If she gives me milk, there might be something inside.
It's because... You see, I expect you to be trustworthy, right? But what am I showing you that makes you think that I'm trustworthy? It's a two-way thing that I expect you to be trustworthy. I expect you not to do anything that's going to give me any suspicion. But what have I done to relieve your suspicions? What have I done to make your life easy? What have I done to make you realize that I'm not doing something wrong? Or have I just, you know, from my life that I was before I got married and my life after I got married, haven't changed? They have to change.
Allah, well, you know,
and even
there's a beautiful message in this. You know, if we all start thinking about ourselves, you know, what have I given her? Or what if it's a lady, what am I doing as a meeting the rights of the husband? You know, if I start thinking about my side, and if you all start thinking about us, yeah, I think that's where the solution lies.
I'll tell you one thing, solution. We can honestly talk all about other things. The simplest solution, if the viewers, when they watch this as well, the simplest solution, if you want to make your marriage successful, this is where the trust level would come in. When you can leave your phone, simple. When you can leave your phone in front of your husband, or the husband can leave the phone unlocked, or she knows the pin, here you go, I'm going to go for whatever, half an hour, 20 minutes, I'm going to, whatever, it's there. When you can do that, then it's fine. And when you can't, then ask yourself, the way Nigrani Shura said, dil ka chor, there is something in there that's making you avoid doing that. So I'm not saying there could be personal business issues which you're not allowed to share.
It's not just the phone though, is it? It's about actually working at a relationship. A relationship is not successful just because you sign a piece of paper. Just because mum and dad said it's a suitable match. Just because they, you know, these are suitably matched, suitably educated, suitably qualified, suitable people, suitable understanding. You still have to work at it. Yeah. And what we think is, yeah, we overnight success story. It doesn't happen. So these people, those people that, you know, divorced, you know, within one night, within two nights, they're not even giving that wedding a chance. You know, so, you know, it's just going to happen and happen and happen. If you don't give it a chance to work, if you have no patience inside you, if you have no sabr inside you, it's never going to work.
And Halibut, one more thing.
In a way, the tolerance doesn't exist in our society these days.
The tolerance.
Something small happens, you know, we spark up something massive. Oh, and we don't appreciate the efforts of the other individual. Sometimes, for example, as a husband, you know, if you're outside working whole day, you're really exhausted, you're tired, you go home and you expect, you know, 5-star treatment there. But at the same time, she's probably a bit busy as well, or maybe she's not well. Yeah, and then when
she's had a tough day with the kids as well. Yeah. The kids have been crying all day.
People fight over salt and honey in their food.
I think you know, if the tolerance will only come if you're mentally prepared. You know, like you mentioned earlier as well, I think that was a beautiful cut, that give family your quality time. Yeah? And if you have that mindset that whenever I meet my family, even if I spend 21 hours outside and I only give 3 hours to my family, if you give them quality time, give them so much love, so much affection that they forget in 21 hours, you weren't here.
Really sunnat in the Madani flowers that we receive with regards to the shura, mashuras that they had. I think it's about 3-year-old who won this one. Nigrani Shura said that the successful person is he who can divide his time into four. Okay? And he said that the four is not necessarily 6 hours a day, but you need four segments. Okay? Number one, you need to earn money. We all need to earn money to survive. Number two, you need to give family time. Number three, you need to give time to your personal ibadat. And number four, you need to give time to madani work. That person who can get the balance on them four, he's the successful person. A person that only spends time with his family and doesn't earn money, it's not going to last. A person that's out working 16 hours a day, making £1 million every week and puts it in the bank, his relationship's not going to last either. Everything has to be in the right balance. And you have to find the right balance, how much time that you have to give family. You know, and initially, when you first get married, that's what you're going to have to give maximum time. As things move forward, the trust starts to build, the relationship gets stronger, it's a lot closer relationship, then the flexibility can come in. You can disappear for a week, you can disappear for a few days. But initially when you do that, yes, it's going to be looking very suspicious, isn't it? If you've been married 20 years and after 20 years you decide to go away for a month for work, yeah, she's not going to be suspicious of you. But on day one you disappear, she's going to be very suspicious. Regarding, you know, why marriages don't work then? Why don't people give the time? Why do they not work at the marriage?
Time is moving so quickly. The way they say, people say, we've got no time for anything. Everybody's so busy. Work comes, say, girl from there, then they've got some sporting activities from there. They need to go gym, then they need to spend time with their friends. Well, they've busied themselves so much. As you said, apart from messaging each other, do you need groceries, do you need this, are we going there? There's not that sitting and,
but surely,
you know, discussing
that,
issues.
You know, each segment in your life, like, you know, you said that they haven't had time, but you find time, don't you? As you move forward in your life, as certain things come in your life, you adjust your life accordingly. Yeah, you adjust your life. You've started a business, so now your life has changed. Now you cannot just work 9 to 5. Now you've got a business, and you might have to work 12 hours a day. So how is it you can find time? It's probably because we just don't prioritize the marriage. We don't realize, and I think what we need to realize is that for a marriage to be successful, you have to prioritize it and you have to give it time. And if you don't, then obviously, like anything else, like your business, is going to fail if you don't prioritize it. If you don't give it time, it's going to fail. A wedding, you know, it's involving a complete, you know, new human being that is a complete different wavelength to you, possibly. So unless you give it time, unless you prioritize, it's not going to work.
Other than prioritizing your time to give to your more to your family, another thing that which is very important for us is avoid arguments. Whatever you can do, stay away from arguments and have that mindset. You know, from that side, you know, there'll be many incidents, occasions that the opposite person will do certain things that they will irritate you, they will make you angry. Don't get angry. Don't have an argument with that person.
When you know it's your own fault, it's my fault, but we've got a mentality here. Sometimes back home we see this mentality as well. Okay, I'm the man of the house. I'm not saying sorry. Why should I say sorry? I can remember in a Madani Kafila once, I was discussing this issue with Shiraz Bhai. Are you crazy? I'm never going to say sorry to my wife. It's not manliness.
But there's a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that even if you are right,
yes, Allah,
if you are right and you diffuse the argument, yeah, and forgive and say, you know, you are sorry, then Allah azza wa jalla has promised you a house in paradise.
Allah.
Yeah. So to diffuse the situation, yeah, that maybe at that moment in time, that person's getting hot-headed, that person's, you know, and to diffuse the situation that, okay, now is not the time to discuss it because I can realize now if we continue like this, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So it needs somebody to walk away. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the strong man is not he who can throw his opponent to the ground. The strong man is he who can control his temper.
Allah.
You know, and controlling your temper. And going on what you're saying is avoiding the arguments. When you see something wrong in your partner, think about the positives in them. Look at the positives in them. Look about the good aspects in them. You know, you've not made the handi right today, yeah? You put too much salt in it, but you're a good person. You know, she looks after me kids, she's done this, and I'm focused on the fact that there's not enough salt, or the roti's not ready, or I'm hungry, and this and that. Don't focus on the weaknesses in a person. And, you know, and I think that's for everything in life. If you want to be successful in life, is if you focus on people's negativity, you're never going to be successful. Yes, we have negativity in them. I have them, you have them, we all have them. But if we just focus on that, we'll never get anywhere.
Now, another solution for a successful marriage is that marriage is not just the couples themselves. What about the people around, the family members of both sides? It's like a community put together. They have an impact as well. So if the couples are not moving on together, and as a parents, you know, you realize something's not right, then you need to play a role as well. You need to be supportive parents.
Unfortunately, what happens is, because if the rishta does not happen according to the parents' consent, then rather than the parents doing this...
They're the ones who want to... Unfortunately, that's the reality as well.
Even as you said on this, there's a riwayat mafhum of which, when the shaitan has his throne in the middle of the ocean and that little shayateen come and he asks them, what did you do today? What did you do today? When one of them stands up and says, today I made two people divorce with each other, I made them finish with each other, he starts getting up and dancing, and this, like, mafhum of it, he's so happy with this. And the others say, look, he's just in this, why are you so happy? He says, because it's not two people that are splitting, it's two handans, two families that are splitting from each other.
Divorce, we see it so light, don't we? It's a small thing in our society. You know, something happens, I divorce you. Yeah, you know, use the word talaq, divorce, and various other forms are used to, you know, do the departure. Then only then we realize, oh, wow, we're done.
Well, they don't even realize it sometimes.
Sometimes,
you know, in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is the thing that is allowed, but it's the most disliked thing in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And again, you know, people, like you said, don't realize talaq and don't realize, you know, the impact that it has. And something that really I've noticed a lot, brother, is that, you know, maybe a husband and wife aren't compatible. Maybe it's not meant to be. You know, people will say this, it's not meant to be, we're not compatible, we don't understand. And they've tried their best to work at it, yeah? And 2 years have gone past, 4 years have gone past, 5 years have gone past, and they've not worked at it. And they realize, both of them realize that, look, I'm never going to understand you, you're going to never understand me. But when there's children involved,
yes,
you know, when there's children involved, then I think you have to get, then okay, you have to swallow the poison, yeah? You have to swallow the poison then, and you have to say that, okay, I might be stupid, she might be stupid, we might be stupid, but the poor kids have nothing to do with this. And our silliness today is going to affect that child for the rest of its life. That child could be mentally scarred, because then what happens is, not only is the child brought up by either the mother or the father, but as a result of the breakup, the mother's pulling the child, the father's pulling the child. Yeah, the child's not coming or going. The mother doesn't want the child going to the father because the father will, you know, buy the presents and treats, and the father doesn't want him going to the mother because the mother will brainwash her against the father. So the child in the middle pulled backwards and forwards, and you see so many children that are in this particular case that it affects them mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're scarred for life. So your silliness or your lack of patience or your lack of your control of your temper has scarred somebody for life. You might not like the person in front of you. You might want to kill the person in front of you. But the poor kid, you've scarred that child for life. And I think we don't not realize the implications.
If you actually look at the society these days, you'll find, you know, there's a lot of youngsters, a lot of teenagers as well, that their parents are split, they're broken up, and they're getting their upbringing in that scenario, that the father's not really with them, or the mother's not really giving time, and they're going forward, they're growing in this society without that support that as normal children will have.
And
it affects them massively.
Sabr has a big part, as you said, having patience. There's a waqia here I've got, an amazing waqia. And honestly, when you look at this, you go, this is when we don't read, or, you know, ilm-e deen again, the knowledge of deen, when we don't come to this side, we don't read stories like this, we don't intake this sort of stuff. There's a bzurg called Hazrat Sheikh Abul Hassan Harkani, rahmatullah alayh. Once a person came, he was an admirer. Just not the bzurgon ke people like the bzurgan e deen, they go and visit them. This person went to visit this certain bzurg. He knocks at their door. A woman from the other side of the door, she answers, but in a very, you know, loud tone. Oh, you're looking for him, he's away to the woods, he's cutting trees, he's such and such and such. So she talks all these negativities. And he thinks to himself, I've come from all that far away, and this is the halat of his own house, and what's he going to do with the world? But then he thinks again, he goes, no, I should at least visit him once and see what it's all about. When he goes towards the same forest, he sees those bzurg, Hazrat Abul Hassan Harkani rahmatullah, walking towards him. And he sees a lion behind Hazrat Abul Hassan Harkani, and he's got his words on top of the lion. And Hazrat Abul Hassan Harkani rahmatullah suddenly say to him, they go to him, look, if I was not listening, or if I was not patient with the words of my wife, do you think this lion would be patient with me? And this is that lack of patience. If we have this, as you said, sometimes, swallow the poison, bite the lip, take the bullet, whatever, just...
before you go into that chapter of your life, before you start a business, before you do anything, you research it. You know, if you want to start a business selling sports goods, then you'll find everything out about sports goods. You'll research it. In the same way, in the life of a Muslim, every aspect of his life, he needs to acquire the Fard Ulum. He needs to have the knowledge of the deen. He needs to know what he's moving to. And what happens is we think, well, we don't need to know it. Yeah? I don't need this knowledge. I remember that when I got married, and 2 or 3 months later, my father came and he saw the book on the table. And it was the rules of marriage and divorce. And my father got worried. He says, why are you reading about divorce? Is everything? I said, dear buddy, everything's okay, don't worry. But you need to learn these things. Yes. You need to understand these things. But I think, again, we don't want to learn this knowledge. And I think what, as Muslims, we need to realize is that we need to acquire the Fard Ulum. We need to acquire the knowledge before we take this next step in our life. In the same way that when there's a young child, when he's a certain age, he needs to have the knowledge to read his namaz. When he gets a little bit older, he needs to have the knowledge to fast during the month of Ramadan. But when it comes to marriage, how many people go away and acquire the knowledge that they need to have a successful marriage? How many people read these waqiyas? How many understand how the people of the past lived their lives so that they can say, okay, when I come up against that problem, I can remember that waqiyah. When I come up against that problem, I can remember that. We don't do this, do we? And so we need to get that knowledge of the deen. And that, again, I feel, is the most successful solution
SubhanAllah, there's one beautiful booklet that comes to my mind I want to share with our viewers. It's called Sunnah of Marriage. Simple title, Sunnah of Marriage. You can get hold of this from our website, www.dawatislami.net, and go to the book section and just search for it, Sunnah of Marriage. It's available in English and many other languages as well. And study that book before you get married. Yeah, inshallah, you know, whatever we discuss so far, you know, beyond this, you'll get a lot of other messages, a lot of practical solutions for your life, upcoming life as well, inshallah.
And viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching the series of programs called Modern Challenges, in which we discuss modern day problems that we are facing on a day-to-day basis. And today, in today's program, we've talked about marriage. It's something that every Muslim, male or female, at a certain time in their life, obviously wants to settle down, wants to get married. However, there are problems that we're faced. And today we've looked at quite a few of the problems, and we just want to highlight them before we finish now. Number one, we looked at the issues that relate to before getting married, and one of them is the financial issues, where we have this peer pressure, where we want to beat other people, we want to, you know, show off to people. However, we have proven and we have shown that there are people today, even in today's day and life, and we're not talking about those pious people that we look up to and aspire to that think that we can never be like them. There are normal people today who have normal day basic weddings, and it can be done. It's not impossible, it's up to you. So that should not be a burden upon us. That burden has been put upon us ourselves. The next thing that we talked about was the fact that before we actually get married, before we find a rishta, it's actually finding a suitable rishta. And again, it's realizing that you need to have some sort of flexibility in your demands. You need to realize that time's going back, and we need to realize that, look, we need to find the rishta, the suitable rishta, and leave the rest to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and put trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yes, do your research, but put trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then we actually talked about the wedding itself, and we said that in the wedding, again, one of the reasons that there isn't barakat in the wedding, in the marriage, is because the root of the wedding, the fact that when we got these children married, what did we do on that day of the wedding? What sins did we commit on there? And then somebody said, if there's no barakat, if there's no blessings in the root, you know, if the root isn't correct, then the fruit's not going to be right either. And what's happened is in our weddings nowadays is we're committing so many sins, and then afterwards we're wondering why the wedding marriages aren't lasting. Is it because on the day our children got married, we committed so many sins where there was mixing of men and women, where there was dancing and singing and all sorts of other sins, and then we expect blessings to be in that wedding? Again, something for us to look upon. Then we look to the fact that once we actually do get married, unfortunately, we don't have this tolerance. We don't have this patience. Marriage is something like anything else in your life that if you want it to be successful, it's not something that, you know, is successful overnight. People say, there's a saying in about a business that the first year of the business, you're going to lose. The second year of the business, you'll break even. And the third year of the business, you're going to be successful. Why don't we apply that to our marriage life as well? Where in the first year, you're going to find hardship, where you're going to struggle. The second year, you're going to find it a bit easy. And then slowly, slowly, things will settle down. What we want is we want success overnight. We don't expect success overnight in our business. We don't expect success overnight in our education. But we expect success overnight in our marriage. And again, we need to have patience and we need to work it as well. The next thing that we need to, that we mentioned very easily, is that it's so easy to divorce. And again, what we need to understand is, when it comes to divorce, yes, it's easy to divorce. Yes, the man can just divorce his wife by saying the word divorce three times, but he needs to realize, he needs to man up and realize, why have you been given that responsibility? Why has the woman not been given that responsibility to be able to do it? Because you're the man, you need to have that sabr, you need to have that patience, and both of you, the mother and the father, really need to realize that, yes, okay, it is allowed. Sharia does allow me to divorce my partner. However, what about the children? How will the children's life be affected by this? And now that you've made the mistake, are you going to let your children suffer as a result of your weaknesses and let them suffer all their life? And finally, my dear Islam brothers and viewers on Mother Channel, what we did mention is that, like every aspect in your life, you need to acquire the faraiz knowledge that you need to know. We mentioned some of the waqiyas, we mentioned some of the hadiths. These are just the basic touches. And the brother mentioned a beautiful book that's available, The Sunnah of Marriage, available on www.dawudislami.net. Completely free of charge, you can download it. If you want the hard copy, it's available from Maktabat al-Madina. Again, they can get that delivered straight to your door. So please, if you want a successful marriage, you need to get it right from the beginning, and you need to work at it all the way time. I pray to Allah Azawajal, Allah Azawajal forgive us, and I pray to Allah Azawajal that all those people that are watching this program today, work at their marriages and make the marriages successful. Keep watching Madani Channel.
Allah, help me understanding of Islam. Allah, help me understanding of Islam.